today on Real Radio.
He met all the demands of the law, all the things that you and I could not do, Jesus did. And so listen, you and I go to heaven based on his merits, not our own. That's why you can't get to heaven by being a good guy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul writes about reconciliation and describes the new life believers now have with their Creator, who is holy and cannot know sin. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called, well, quite simply, Get a Life.
But here's the best thing of all. Look at it. Who has reconciled us to himself. He's reconciled us to himself, says the Bible, and we want to ask this question, how? Verse 18, the word reconciled means this, that he has, listen, supernaturally, unilaterally, has taken this upon himself. God did this to effect a mutual change. That's what that word means. Look, a mutual change, meaning God has come down and reached us. That's what this word implies. God has reached us, who wants to save us so that we might be saved. It's a mutual change, a mutual benefit. He loves, we need to be loved. God did this. He initiates it. This is an amazing thing. Listen, God initiates your salvation and mine. God does it. Isn't that amazing? He owes us nothing, but he initiates salvation. He's reconciled us. And notice what it says. He has brought about this recovery for us to himself. Do you see why we argue and say that God is a personal Savior? He's a personal God, that you should know Christ personally? Because he's saying, I want you to be reconciled, and I want you to be reconciled to me. This is not the God of religion, as we've been arguing. He's the God of relationship. And he's done it through Jesus Christ. This gets very exciting. The word reconciled, you cannot entertain the word reconciled without going to the word propitiation. I know it's a big word, but listen, it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And the Bible says, for he himself, that's Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We need to dive into deeper water here right now. John is announcing that Jesus Christ is the propitiation which brings about reconciliation. The propitiation is a theological term which means this: God creates the answer to bring back to him satisfaction. Did you get that? Why are you guys so quiet? You okay? Somebody say amen anyway. Amen. There you are. Okay. God looks at you and I. What does the Bible say about us? We're lost. We have a sin nature. All of us know this if we're honest. God looks at you and he loves you. He wants you with him. But there's a big problem. God is absolutely holy. He's not a human. He's spirit. And he created us, the Bible says. And he wants you with him, but there's a big problem. There's a void. There's a Grand Canyon, and it's filled with sin, pride, self-righteousness, lust, anger, whatever it might be, selfishness, whatever, which has alienated us from God. The Bible says we're all born into this world lost and alienated from God, but God has provided a way. And to bridge that darkness, the Bible says that God sent his son to be our propitiation, meaning that Jesus Christ is the sole, listen, appointed agent to satisfy the righteous demands of God and his wrath. Jesus does at least both things. He satisfies the wrath of God in his holiness, and he provides for you and I salvation. How does this happen? As I said, God is holy. He hates sin and wickedness. Listen, he loves the human. He hates the sin. Now, don't think for a moment, oh, yeah, you know what? None of us are perfect. God loves us, but he hates the sin. We say that like it's some sort of a Band-Aid. It's not a Band-Aid. You know, the Bible says God does love us, but you know, the Bible also says he's angry with the wicked every day. Did you know that? Why is he like that? He's holy. He's pure. Did you know his wrath? By the way, when you read about his wrath in the Bible, it actually paints a picture of a sword of righteousness that's dripping. There's a sense where it's dripping heat or dripping righteousness because it's so blazingly pure. This is God. He can't change. He's God. So I don't like that. It doesn't matter. You're already here. It's too late. It's his universe. He's so pure and holy, but he's also absolute love. He cannot traffic in contradiction. So what happens? Sin's got to be paid for. Listen, we are unholy, so we look the other way when our kids or somebody does something wrong. We make excuses. He can't do that. He's pure. So what happens is Jesus Christ pays the price. He suffers what you and I were to suffer. Jesus was alienated at the cross so you and I would never have to be alienated. So look, you say, well, Jack, what are you making a big deal about this for? You just said that he died for the sins of the world. Yes, he died for all the sins of the world, but not all the world gets to enjoy it. Only those who receive the gift. Imagine, look at the world like this. The world is like a softball on fire, and there's people on there. And it's going across the universe. And God knows it's going to run out. It's the universe. It's limited. That ball's going to hit the wall someday. And God says, I don't want them on there to hit the wall. So God says like this, watch. He announces, hey, on the ball, you. Step into my hand, get off the ball. It's going to hit the wall soon. Get off, jump into my hand, trust me. So we say, who are you? So he sends us a whole book to tell us about who he is. And then he says, come on, quick, you're getting closer. Now, jump. I don't know. Maybe there's other ways. Get in my hand, quick. And you debate. Have you ever seen people, like someone will say, duck, quick. And someone will say, why? Yeah. Get down, quick. Oh, how come? Who are you to tell me? And then, boom. Right? Look, best to duck. In this case, best to jump off the ball and into his hand because he knows what's coming. He loves you and he provides the way out. God initiates it. The ball is going to hit the wall because of sin. And he says, jump quick. If we hit the wall, it's our fault. We have nobody else to blame. He rescues us through Christ. The Bible says there's one go-between, one mediator between mankind and God. What does it say? That is the man, Christ Jesus. Think of it. He's bridging the holiness of God and he's bringing the unrighteousness of man together at the cross. Jesus, watch, turns to mankind and says, I have paid the debt that you could never pay. Trust me. Then he turns and he says, Father, forgive them on the count of my cross, my blood. The Father looks at the righteous provision of his Son and instead of tabulating our sins, takes the righteousness of Christ, listen, and cancels sin. Watch. For who? The whole world, if they'll accept it. Each individual has to accept it because he's a personal Savior. So this way, Jesus did it all. Finished, perfect, complete. So what sends someone to hell? Oh man, I did this bad and this bad and this bad and this bad. That's not going to, listen. Your sins have been paid for at the cross. Your sins are not going to send you to hell. Accept the way out. Do you understand that? Accept the way out. Receive his free offering, his gift. It is absolutely awesome to think. The second point is this, verse 19. Everything comes back to God. Everything comes back to God. Verse 19 says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or no longer imputing their trespasses to them. Well, this is absolutely astonishing verse. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard people say, oh, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God. No, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is deity. Have you noticed everyone who says that doesn't know anything about the Bible? This verse right here is a killer. I mean that in a good way. It's amazing. Why? Because God, this is the totality of God. God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the act of salvation for mankind, he did it in Christ. Meaning, are you listening? Meaning, God didn't send an angel. Gabriel or Michael did not die on the cross for our sins. Did you know that if Gabriel would have died on the cross for our sins, guess what? Who would it have saved? No one. Impossible. An angel could not have died for your sins. Why? Because the offering has to be both pure and it has to represent us. See, the ancients would offer up an animal because the animal in its innocence would represent us, you see? But this animal, God comes and he becomes a human. The Bible says that he came to us in the flesh and that he died on the cross, that God became human in Jesus Christ to do what? To appease the wrath of the holiness of God, a perfect human needed to A, pay the debt for all of sinful man, but because he's a perfect human, death couldn't hold him, and so that great fear factor of humanity, death, was shattered by the perfection of Christ. He was our absolute pioneer who broke the grip of the grave and of hell and of death. Because he was pure, it could not hold him. Imagine, it like went with its hands around him looking for something to grab onto to pull him into hell. And it couldn't do it because it was Jesus. He met all the demands of the law, all the things that you and I could not do, Jesus did. And so listen, you and I go to heaven based on his merits, not our own. That's why you can't get to heaven by being a good guy. It's impossible. You and I start polluted. How can we become a good guy when the things that we start with are polluted? Jesus came in to set us free. And that's how we get back to God. Everything comes back to God. God was in Christ. The announcement implies deity was revealed in the flesh. God was in Christ, meaning the Messiah was none other than God himself. There are those in the world today looking for a human Messiah. Europe is looking for a human Messiah. America is looking for a human Messiah. The world is looking for a human Messiah. And what does the Bible tell us about the future? The Bible tells us that there's going to be one that we call AC, Antichrist. He's going to come onto the world scene and he's going to be the economic, environmental, political savior of the world. But the Bible says he's possessed by the devil and he'll deceive the world. The Bible says that man is coming. No, I'm saying today, and I'm inviting you today, Christian, be reminded today, that God Almighty arrived in Bethlehem, lived 33 and a quarter years, and went to the cross in human flesh. The one and only most unique announcement in all the world is the biblical announcement. Listen to this. We would call this prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. You say, what does that mean? That means that for us to come back to God and how everything comes back to God, it's because it's initiated in God. There is no way. Now, don't raise your hand, because I'm sure you'd all raise your hand. But if I were to ask you, how many of you want to be near God or to know God or to be one with God and saved and know that heaven? You'd all raise your hands. How does that happen? Because God, by his prevenient grace, put that in you to think God thoughts. He put it in you to want God. It's an amazing thing. God is always previous. So how are you going to respond to that offer? In Romans 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." Pause right there, look at the screens or look at your Bibles. Don't you love that? "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." What does that mean? The world was alienated from God, as I said. Jesus died on the cross for a lost world. We need to remember this, church, when people say, oh, your God doesn't love people. You need to remember this to tell them. While we were enemies, God was at work reconciling us. Look, reconciled to God through the death of his son, not your son, not your life, his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Church, is Jesus alive? How sure is your salvation? Well, it's only as sure as Jesus being alive. Aren't you glad he's eternal? Oh, man. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the definite article, the reconciliation. What does that mean? The reconciliation is the power, listen, the power of God resides in every Christian who's been reconciled to God. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a relationship with God for real. You know what happens if it's for real? You now have the ability, because you've received reconciliation, to pass it along. What do you mean? I'll tell you more of this in a moment. Listen to this. Regarding his revelation in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, without question, without debate, the word means, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ, that's the incarnate Christ, was revealed in a human body, vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken, that is, the word is returned back to heaven in glory. God came. Think of that. So what does it mean to us? Jack, you're telling me all this amazing thing. Watch. What does it mean? What does it mean? When it announces here that God in eternity has a plan to reach us, to reconcile us to him, he turns right around to the Christian. Watch this. The Christian. He turns right around to those who have come to know Jesus Christ, and he imparts to us, listen, the power to be able to reconcile not only with others, but to reach out to a world that is not reconciled to God and have them or invite them to be reconciled to God. This is radical if you hear this, if you'll receive this. What God did in total, he turns around to his family, his children, and he says, be like me. Well, in what way? Because there's a lot of people running around the globe saying that they're little gods. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Because I am your God, and because you have my word, my spirit dwells in you. Does he not, says the Bible? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in you. Okay, so what? What's the deal, God? Okay, I want you to go out into the world now and be like me to them. And you think about that for a moment. We call it ministry. And you might say, well, yeah, Pastor, isn't that what you do? You go do ministry? Go along now. No, that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says every Christian has a ministry. Every one of us. So listen, you want to know what your ministry is? Do you know anybody? Do you know anyone? I'm all alone in the world. No, you know what? If you bump into someone, you now have a ministry. Oh, God, show me, just show me what I should do in life. God, speak to me. And the mailman comes to your door, FedEx, the dog catcher, neighbors. Yeah, okay, fine, get out of my way. Really, can't you tell I'm praying? God, show me what I'm supposed to do. And you hear about a neighbor three doors down, they broke their ankle. Okay, yeah, sorry, all right. Hey, I'll take out your trash next week. God, show me. Show me what you want me to do. He's been showing you. Respond to that. What do we do this with life? I met a guy recently, he's great. Pastor Jack, I need some advice. I met a girl, she's a Christian, loves the Lord, she's beautiful, she's amazing, it's awesome, Jesus first and everything, it's just great, we're keeping ourselves pure, it's fantastic, she's fantastic. And I go, yeah, do you love her? I love her so much. So, what are we talking about here? And he goes, I don't know, what do you think? Do I marry her? Do I ask her to marry me? I go, you want someone else to marry her? This is a great, and I'm dead serious. Do you want someone else? I don't know. Do you want someone else to marry her? No. Okay, buddy, listen up. Dude, listen. It's great you love her, but you got to think here. Christian men, you know they love the Lord, but it's a little light up there. Where is she right now? She's going to get off work in about an hour. Get over there. Get to work, her work. Ask her to marry you. Just like that. Honestly, can you believe this? Don't let her get out of your sight, dude. She's beautiful. She loves Jesus. She's wonderful. You're impressed with her spirituality. What are you doing talking to me? Get there now. It's so strange. The gospel, God's plan for your life. God, just show me a sign. Oh, I would love to just... Come here, I'll give you a sign. Boom. Do it. It's amazing. God has called you into the ministry, Christian. Listen, he saved you. From what? From hell. Yes. And then what are you going to do between now and heaven? That's a good question. No. Get busy for God. Well, I'm an engineer. I work 12 hours a day. So look, you have an engineering job to put food on your table. That's it. You go in 12 hours a day. You're at that job. You are a minister of the gospel first before you're an engineer. Yeah, but the company's paying me. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to be clear. I really am a stickler on this. If you're on company time, you give the company 100%. Amen. You never go witness to somebody during company time. Wait for break. It's about 9 or 9:30 in the morning. Wait for break. You have 15 minutes to give Jesus. Listen, that's an eternity. 15 minutes? You can give Jesus. You say, no, we can't share Jesus in our company. Oh, yeah, you can. No, there's a rule. They'll fire you. No, they won't. This is how you're going to do it. Dear God in heaven, I'm willing and I'm ready. Bring someone to me who needs to hear your truth. Oh, man. You guys, I work at a church. It's pretty boring here. I loved working in the world. I loved it. Because we had those rules. You can't share Jesus. So oh, man, this is a dilemma. And then the Lord says, it's not for me. It's not a dilemma. Ask me to open the door. Hey, I can do that. God, open the door. And people will come to you. Now, it was cool when your boss comes and says, hey, what's the deal? Well, I'll tell you at break. That's what I told him. My boss said, tell me, what's the deal? I said, I'll tell you at break. We're on company time. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. That freaked him out. My boss became a Christian. Listen, you can't lock Jesus out. And you can share Christ without violating the company rules. God has given you a ministry.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, where Paul writes about how believers who trust the Messiah for their salvation are now reconciled to the Father. Get a Life is actually a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special, worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. For what it's worth, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.